Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of Behind the Dish Softball. I'm your co-host, Ashley Rowley, along with Shelby Babcock and Dr. Allie Dake. Today's episode is a heavy one. Today's conversation is one of those hard conversations that we have to have if we're going to make a change for the mental health of our kids, of our youth, of our athletes. So today's conversation is really driven by the recent events of the tragic suicide of Stanford soccer player, 22-year-old Katie Meyer, who took her life last week on March 3rd. Excuse me. If we dive into the statistics of mental health, we know that the U.S. emergency room visits for suicide attempts by adolescent girls have surged 51% since this time 2 years ago. We also know that research has shown that 1 in 4 high school kids admits that they have considered committing suicide within the last 30 days. The pandemic has driven the mental health issues to all-time highs and to scary levels. We all know that. And I'm gonna hand the baton over to Dr. Allie so she can tell the story of how and why Behind the Dish initially was started. So Allie, go ahead and take us through that story.
thank you. And my heart goes out to Katie's family. And I hope that they have peace in their hearts soon. We'll try to get through this without crying. it's the topic of suicide is very near and dear to John, who's the original founder of Behind the Dish, and myself. John is my cousin. And his brother took his life. My cousin Paul took his life when John had been drafted to the major leagues. Paul was an athlete. He was a multi-athlete, football and baseball. He was being actually recruited for college football and for baseball. He had, you know, this amazing choice to make, but he had other pressures in his life that took his life. And so John has, along with me, we have committed and we're dedicated to bringing awareness to this through athletes and through thought management programs and the importance of being a positive role model in an athlete's life. And so that is kind of how we came in a nutshell to this place of Behind the Dish. Is it began as the platform to have these conversations, to move along the mental health awareness for children and for youth. There's signs out there that can be often missed when you are looking at somebody who may be thinking about suicide, because Ashley just gave us some daunting statistics. Besides some of the obviouses as having a mental illness or a substance abuse disorder or a serious illness, you could have a traumatic brain injury. Concussions can lead severe and multiple number of concussions can actually lead to the thoughts of suicide. Stressful real life situations, such as divorces and finances, or the idea that you are perfect, or this level of expectation of being perfect and not being able to achieve it, is extremely stressful. Mm-hmm.
The stress and pressure we put on ourselves to attain perfection.
Yeah. There is also being exposed to someone else's suicide. That can also lead, if you have a child who's thought about it and they know somebody who did it, that actually ups the percentage of likeliness that your child could, if that's already something that they have been contemplating and going through. And if you have a history of family suicide, that ups the opportunity, the percentage that could happen. Now, just because you've had somebody in your life that has committed suicide or somebody in your family that does it, doesn't mean that your child is going to do it. For those parents listening, that doesn't mean that. There's many factors that go into that, but it does raise that likeliness. So just to be aware of that. Yeah, but that's why we started Behind the Dish, or actually John did, during the pandemic when the rates of depression were going, with youth were going down, suicide numbers are up. Mm-hmm. And John started Behind the Dish baseball, and then we came along and started it for the female athletes. But it is the main cornerstone of this is mental health.
So there's so many different aspects, and our goal is to provide our youth with tools to help them control their thoughts. I mean, you use the word thought management, and I think that's an awesome, awesome term, because it's teaching them how to control their own thoughts, right? So in 2019, when, you know, I took a hiatus from coaching and I got back into it after our kiddos were kind of old enough and we knew our names again, I wanted to start coaching again. And I noticed that every athlete that came in my door, the first thing out of their parents' mouth was, she has no confidence. And I was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Then I got a phone call from my sister-in-law. My niece lives in Ohio. And she said, my niece was 11 at the time. And she said, hey, I want to give you a heads up that Presley, who's my niece, said her good friend just committed suicide at 12 years old. Because two boys walked up to this little girl on the playground and said, you're fat and you're ugly and you should kill yourself. And this little girl was so insecure that she went home and she did just that. Now, if we can by chance implement programs and have hard conversations that will teach our girls and our kids in general at younger ages how to love who they see staring back at the mirror, in the mirror, how to control their thoughts, how to say, I am beautiful, I am strong, that hopefully the next time that that happens, that little girl will punch those boys in the nose and say, not me, not today. Mm-hmm. Right. There are so many aspects that can, it's like, it lead to suicide, whether it's bullying or social pressures, right. Mm-hmm. Whether it's stress, pressure from academics, from athleticism, from sport, whatever it is, what you're feeling at home, we have to provide these kids tools and resources at a young age so they know, one, it's going to be okay, and they have someone to talk to.
Yeah.
Right. So I love Encanto, the movie. I think Disney knocked it out of the park with this one. And Luisa, if you've seen the movie, is the big strong sister, right? She's the one literally that carries the donkeys on her back and does all the hard work. And she sings a song called Surface Pressure. And the first time I heard it, there were a couple of lyrics in there that drove me to look up the lyrics. And I can 100% apply this to my own life. And so I want to read you some of these lyrics, because what I equate this to is, you look at that iceberg, all you see above the surface is just the tip of that iceberg. But underneath it, there's a mass of ice that literally took down the Titanic, but you can't see that. So what is bubbling in our kids under the surface, right? And so here's the lyrics of the song. It says, I'm the strong one. I'm not nervous. I'm as tough as the crust of the earth is. I move mountains. I've moved churches, and I glow because I know what my worth is. I don't ask how hard the work is. Got a rough, indestructible surface. Diamonds and platinum. I find them. I flatten them. I take what I'm handed. I break what's demanded. Now, for me, that's my outer surface, 100%. That's my outer surface. Now, the next verse goes, under the surface, I feel berserk. I don't know what that word means. I feel berserk as a tightrope walker in a three-ring circus. Under the surface, was Hercules ever like, yo, I don't want to fight Servius? Under the surface, I'm pretty sure I'm worthless if I can't be of service. A flaw or a crack, the straw in the stack that breaks the camel's back. What breaks the camel's back? It's the pressure, like a drip, drip, drip that'll never stop. Pressure that'll tip, tip, tip till you just go pop. Give it to your sister. Your sister's older. Give her all the heavy things we can't shoulder. Who am I if I can't run with the ball? If I fall to the pressure, right? And I'm going to skip down to one verse. Let me find it. If I could shake the crushing weight of expectations, would that free up some room for joy or relaxation or simple pleasure? Instead, we measure this growing pressure. It keeps growing, keeps going, until we all know it's pressure like a drip, drip, drip that'll never stop. You guys.
Wow.
I know. And
It's a Disney movie.
But you read this, you guys, this is 100%. Do I feel this pressure as a mom, as a wife, as an entrepreneur? Yes.
Yeah.
Did I feel this pressure as a student, as an athlete? Yes. Now, you know, our tribute to Katie, you know, I didn't know Katie personally, Katie Meyer, but you read the stories, you guys, 2-3 years ago, she had 2 key game-winning saves that won her team a national championship. She's a senior at Stanford. She's beautiful. She's got a bright, bubbly personality. Mm-hmm. And her parents said there were no signs. We literally talked to her a few hours before that night, and there were no signs. To know what's bubbling underneath the surface, right? Sometimes there aren't signs.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where we talk about, and we talked about that Evaluate Stress Relief episode of games. The conversations that we have with our kids as coaches and parents when they get in the car. What expectations are we placing on them that may be unrealistic?
Mm-hmm.
Are we putting pressure on them? Are we putting these unrealistic expectations? Some of it's hardwired into them. So how do we break that to let them know it's okay to go have fun? Guess what? You got a C on your test. I love you anyway. You're going to be just fine.
Perfect. Yeah.
Right?
Well, and what we need to understand about stress from a psychological and a biological perspective is stress is actually in some way, shape, or form really good for us. It was actually meant as a mechanism to protect, right? So if something was chasing you, the stress of that lets off different chemical reactions in your body to make you move, to make you handle that pressure so that you don't shrivel, you know, that like the same where flight or fright,
right? Fight or flight. Yeah. Yeah.
I throw freeze in there because some people do freeze, but that it is actually stress. Some stress is good. So when we're saying that there's pressure, we're not talking about just a little bit when we're talking about suicide. We're talking about an enormous amount of pressure, right? Mm-hmm. Like to what Ashley was reading, to that, to an extent, like it just isn't stopping. Mm-hmm. That is why that decompression is so important. That pie that we've talked about is so important. Where else are you, and how else are you balanced? How else are you feeling self-confident? If you're learning something right now and you're not self-confident, but you feel self-confident over here, you're creating that balance, right? Mm-hmm. Are your thoughts sabotaging you, or are they benefiting you? I talk all the time about spiraling down. I teach all the time, stay in front of that voice inside of your head. How do you stay in front of it? Right. Mm-hmm. Because it's vital. It's absolutely vital.
It is. And I go back, I go back to these 2 lines that I'm staring at in the song right now. One says, I'm pretty sure I'm worthless if I can't be of service.
Be of service.
That goes right back to the pie.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I?
Yep.
And Coach Mal talked about this in the first episode. And it's so real, Shelby. You felt it. I felt it. When your playing career is over and you no longer have that built-in support structure, or you're not a part of a team and you're not accomplishing things, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody needs me anymore. I'm worthless. That's a real feeling, and it's a really empty feeling. The other line that sticks out to me in this is, if I could shake the crushing weight of expectations.
I hate expectations.
If I could shake the crushing weight, and that's what it feels like, whether it's mom or dad or parents or coaches or society,
mm-hmm.
What does society say I'm supposed to do?
Yeah.
So, right? Or it's my own.
Here's what I want to say about expectations. I don't like them. I hate them. I don't even like to use that word, because how many times has somebody said, did you see that? Ashley, you just said it. Have you seen that movie? It's the best movie ever.
It is.
And then you go and you see it and you're like, what just happened? Your expectation got brought up to here because somebody else's opinion. Expectations are built on opinion, and opinions are the lowest form of information in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So So we have to learn how to change those expectations. Like when we say, oh, expected, no, it's a goal.
Yeah.
It's
a goal. I feel like every parent and every daughter at least needs to go watch this movie, and not from the entertainment aspect, from the messages aspect.
The messages. Right?
Because, you know, I'll do a quick summary. This family is given the gift of magic, and each member of the family was giving like a magical power, right? One can heal everybody with her food. One has the ability to talk to animals. One has the ability to grow flowers. One, Louisa, is this like, has incredible strength, right? And then there's this one sibling that didn't get a gift at all, right? And throughout the process of this movie, she's always feeling herself standing on the sidelines because she didn't get a gift, right? Who am I? How do I fit? How do I contribute to the family? And at the very end of the movie, for me, it's the most powerful part of the movie because everything crumbles, it falls apart, and she's the one that builds a stronger foundation back to the family. She rebuilds the family, and everybody for the first time looks at her and they say, we see you. Mm-hmm. We see how hard you've been working. We see how much you've been shouldering. We see you. Mm-hmm. And for kids, we have to see them and tell them you see them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've been quiet this whole time because I've just been listening, but I feel like I can relate a lot to the pressures of being a Division I athlete. Sorry, I'm going to get a little emotional here.
It's okay.
I definitely went through a lot of anxiety as a player.
You're good. Breathe.
Oh, wow.
Okay, I started with tears, so it's okay.
Okay. Breathe. You're good. We talked with Todd, you guys, he used a different word, but pooping blood.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? No. And you know, you come from being this phenomenal player out of Colorado, right? Mm-hmm. You come to Arizona and you want to, you know, do the best that you absolutely can. Mm-hmm. And I hid a lot of stuff for a very long time in how I felt and just how stressed out I was. So, yeah. And sorry, guys, I wasn't planning to get emotional today.
You know what, though? This is real. And I think it's amazing that if you're an athlete and a parent and a coach, this is real. And if this is part of having the hard conversations, if we're going to make a change,
absolutely,
we're going to help this next generation.
Absolutely. And I was so grateful. I had my family, my coaches saw it. They mm-hmm. knew I was going through a lot of stuff and a lot of stress and trying to just uphold this like program of like, it was number one in the nation at that point in time. And I felt like I was losing games for my team. I was letting home runs go over the fence every seventh inning. And it just became a lot of pressure on top of school and trying to do all this stuff as a freshman. And it's big. And I can't say enough of how much you need to communicate with your players and listen and know, because
And be aware, coaches and parents, be aware.
Be aware.
Pay attention. Yeah. Get to
and I'm so thankful. Kids. I'm so thankful for Arizona softball. My God. Like Mike Kindrea, thank you. Mm-hmm. Helped so many athletes. But that's why I've been quiet this whole time, because, man, I'm emotional about it. So
okay. It's real.
Yeah.
it's a real thing. And the pressure, the expectations. I mean, Shelby, you get this. When you play in Colorado, right, you're and as dominant as you were.
Yeah.
I'm straight up dominant. I mean, Shelby's just taking names, right? And so you go from being the best of the best, and now you're mm-hmm. at U of A, number one in the nation. And that expectation, you walk in and all these athletes with you go, who are you?
Yeah, okay, exactly.
Cool. And now you're starting at the bottom level and you're going, whoa. And we're not the best of the best at that point. Like
absolutely.
You're having to find a whole new gear and mm-hmm. get a whole new level.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember my freshman year, I was 1500 miles away from home. Right. And I'm in a dorm room with our dorm rooms were kind of suites, and there were four of us. So we each had our own room, and there was like a little common area, a little kitchen. Right. But there were two other softball players and a soccer player. And three out of the four of us were rehabbing from knee surgery. So two ACLs and then my train wreck of my kneecap issues. Right. And one of my roommates, if you've ever had a surgery, you get narcotics, you get painkillers. Mm. It's part of the process. Right?
Yep.
So I'm 2,000 miles away from home. I'm really homesick. Really homesick. And one of the best things, I mean, there was a point where I wanted to just cash it in. I was like, Mom, I can't do this anymore. And she said, yes, you can, number one. And if you still feel this way at the end of the school year in May, then we'll talk. But you're not coming home mid-semester. Well, I came home from class back in my dorm room, and on my desk was a pocket knife, a bottle of pills, and a note from one of my roommates as she was cutting herself. And she said, I need you to take these so I don't hurt myself even more.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm 18 years old trying to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I do at that point? I call my mom because my mom was that resource. And then she's like, you need to call coach. And then I did that. And we got that, you know, we got all of that moving. Mm-hmm. But it's real.
It is.
It's real.
It is. And the pressure is real.
The pressure is real. And we look at life pressure. You look at the bullying. And this is one thing that's near and dear to my heart, is because I have a 4.5 and a 6-year-old, both girls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I look at them and I look at the innocence in their eyes and I say, how do I raise them to be strong and confident in this world we live in this world of social media bullying, in this world of belittling, of hatred, of unrealistic expectations, of Instagram filters, of all of that? How do I raise mm-hmm. them?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, sport is my platform, is the only way I know how to do that. Right. So for me personally, it's that platform to teach those life skills that will set them up for success. And what are those life skills? It's how to control the thoughts in your head. It's how to grow and learn from failure. You make mm-hmm. a mistake, we fail forward, right? We learn from that. We learn from those experiences. We learn how to push through adversity. We learn how to communicate when something's hard,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, yep. I grew up in a family and I love and adore my parents more than anything in the entire world. But my dad is from Eastern Kentucky and grew up on a drill rig his entire life, right? My mom is from Oklahoma and similar backgrounds. So guess what? I didn't learn how to journal. I didn't learn how to express my feelings. Mm-hmm. It was very much a rub some dirt on it and let's go
mm-hmm.
get back in the game. And I love that approach, but it has taken me a lot of work over the past 10 years to learn it's okay to feel. And it's okay to tell somebody when you're struggling.
Yep.
I mean, I think I shared with you guys on one of the podcast episodes in, I think it was this time last year, you guys, I was a ball of nerves and anxiety. And it was one morning, my 5-year-old was fighting me, getting ready for school. And I just exploded and I yelled at her and I had the worst feeling. I sobbed all the way to taking her to school. And I texted my doc, who's one of my best friends. And I said, buddy, can you get me in today?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what's up? And I said, I can't do this on my own anymore. And he said, come on in. And at that point, like plus others are my outlet, my safe space. But he said, you know what? You don't have to do this. And he put me on this very small dose of anxiety meds it helps me keep my head and think clearly. I mean, we have a pandemic.
Yep.
Everybody's affected by that. Now we have nations at war.
Yeah.
You guys.
And it's okay to talk. It's okay mm-hmm. to let out your feelings. I can't stress that enough. It's just, it's okay. It's okay to talk. My girls come in and I can see it all over their face because I was once in their shoes mm-hmm. and I'm like, girl, let's sit down. Let's talk. If you need to cry to me, cry to me. If you need to vent, vent to me. Like yeah. I've been in your shoes and I know, and the anxiety is not just on you.
Nope.
Let it out. Let it be you. And it's okay. I just can't stress that enough because I held it in for so long mm-hmm. to where mm-hmm. I just bursted. And that's why you saw me got so emotional because I haven't talked about that in a really long time.
Yeah.
So thanks for letting me get that out today.
Hey girl, we got apparently you.
I needed it.
But you know,
we need you healthy. And when we hold it in, and we're not vulnerable and we don't let it out, it goes mm-hmm. back to that stress, like the natural mechanism. But it actually
it distorts and restructures genes in our body, our at a cellular level, that stress that you, when you hold on to things instead of letting out, it actually can make you sick. It actually can do more damage. And so actually, I'd say hats off to all three of us because we're very vulnerable on this show. We share from our hearts. We share intimate stories. We talk about things that are hard. And so Shelby, awesome. I'm glad you're that's why we always feel better after a good cry, right?
Yeah.
But I want to encourage people listening. When you have those moments and you let it out and you and vulnerable and you've shared and you've done it from this pure place of authenticity from you, don't be sorry.
Don't ever be sorry.
Well, and I think that's good.
Us women say, the first thing us women say is, oh, sorry. We apologize
Right.
And that puts that actually deflates exactly what you just needed to do. Mm-hmm. And so I say, yay.
Celebrate. Excuse me. Well, think about.
It's your natural body way of releasing it. Mm-hmm. So,
Think about how hard for the adults, everything that life's pressures and expectations is hard for adults. Mm-hmm. And now think about those expectations and pressures on kids, and they don't have the skill set. Mm-hmm. They don't have the emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. So coaches and parents, pay attention and get to know your athletes, right? Because you'll be able to pick up when something's under the surface and ask them, talk to them.
Yep.
Athletes, kids, boys, girls, if you are struggling with pressure, with stress, if you're feeling overwhelmed, find somebody, your safe space. You're somebody that you can just go talk to. It can be a friend. It can be a coach. It can be a parent. I hope you have that relationship with your parents. If not, find somebody that you can confide in and cry and talk and let it out. You have to feel what's going on under the surface to be able to manage that, right? Yeah. To get back and let somebody help you.
Yep. Right. And we're here to help.
We're here to reach out on any of our social media platforms, on our email system, sidebehindthedish.us.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And kids, if you happen to be that resource for a friend of yours and you have any inclination that they might be struggling from mental health, depression, or considering suicide, go tell somebody.
Don't hesitate. Yep.
Do not even hesitate. Don't second guess yourself. Trust your instincts. Mm-hmm. Tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your coach, tell anybody, because you know what? You might be able to save a life.
Yep.
So I want everybody to be able to look in the mirror and know that you are loved. You are perfect the way you're made. And the only person's opinion that matters is that one staring back in the face.
Yep.
The only one that matters is your opinion of you. And all this mental health, it's not for the birds, y'all. It's to help you control all the heavy stuff society's thrown on you right now. So we're here for you. Reach out for us. Find your person, but talk, journal, write, whatever.
Exactly. Even if it's the littlest thing, I mean, talk it out because it can grow into something that's much bigger. So communicate, let it out, let it off your chest. Cause I can tell you right now, I already feel better, guys. So
our hearts go out to Katie Meyer's family and friends, her teammates, everyone who knew and loved her, and may her situation and her death be yet another platform towards making a change.
Absolutely.
And preventing somebody else from taking their own life.
Absolutely.
All right. We love everybody.
You're amazing. You can find us on all the social media platforms and all of the important ones like TikTok, Instagram, Facebook,
Important ones. Sorry.
Yeah.
We appreciate you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for spending your time with us today. We appreciate the opportunity to get to share our experiences and knowledge with you. If you haven't had a chance yet, please hit that subscribe button so you can tune in on future episodes. And be sure to follow us on social media at BehindTheDishSB for future episode information and guests. Make it a great day.